Good morning, his community voice. I'm Steve Gradick, your host. Delighted to have you with us on this beautiful Monday morning. I know it's raining, but we made it through the weekend, and believe me, it took a toll on me. But that's irrelevant because we just hope anybody that had damage that it'll be something that you can recover from easily and quickly. Unfortunately, no lives were lost. And that's the main thing, right?
That's the main thing.
Carroll County Probate Judge Edie Haney is in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Thank you for coming in.
Sure.
This is a treat for me.
Treat for me as well.
And we want to get into probate court, of course. To me, probate court's always been somewhat of a mystery.
Mysterious. It's a very mysterious.
What in the world is probate court?
Right.
Why would anybody care?
Such a strange term. Does that mean?
What does that mean?
Right.
But so that's our little tease to, for everybody to stay tuned, and we're going to explain that. But before we do that, let's kind of introduce Edie Haney. You're filling in the unexpired term of Betty Kasem, who served for 23 years.
23 years. She was a fabulous probate judge for us.
And now she's mayor of City of Carrollton.
Right. We call her affectionately Judge Mayor.
Did you really?
Well, I do. Okay. And a friend
well,
coined that term.
I encourage everyone out there now to start calling her Judge Mayor. These are four-year terms. So we've got an election coming up. I believe it's May 19th.
That's correct. They announced the dates for 2020, qualifying, all of those. So this year, probate judges will seek re-election.
Assume, correctly so, that you will be running.
I will. I will be qualifying for the office and hoping to be re-elected.
So that's your official announcement?
I think that might be. I was privileged to be featured in West Georgia Woman, Angela Daly, and I did tell her that I would be running again.
Okay, so all right, well, good. Let me kind of give a little background on it, and then we'll stay on that realm for a few minutes. Now, I understand you got a law degree from Mercer.
I do.
And undergrad from UWG.
That's correct. But, political science.
Political science originally from Macon, though.
I am. I'm originally from Bibb County. So I came to West Georgia at my father's request, and to West Georgia College then, now University of West Georgia. And I planned to transfer over to the University of Georgia. But the fact is, I came to West Georgia and I loved the college, spent all 4 years here, went back to Mercer, and then came back to Carrollton to practice law. So I'm a transplant.
So why would anybody want to be a lawyer?
It's a great career for women. That's true. There's much opportunity for advancement. And the thing I say about law is whatever you're interested in, whether it's a science, whether it's criminal justice, even whether it's writing, education, speaking, all of those things, you can have a career in law. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I enjoy the puzzle side of it. And you really, although it's difficult and I think it's stressful on lawyers, you have the opportunity to help people at some of the most difficult times of their life. And so it's a demanding career and it is stressful, but you do have that opportunity to help people through some things that hopefully you never have to go through but once, and sometimes their most stressful times of their life. You think about divorce, if you have a lawsuit, if you've been injured. In my case, when you've lost a family member, if you're struggling with mental health or someone's capacity is declining, all those times are very stressful times of life. But an attorney can walk you through that and make that process easier. So I think most attorneys think that way.
Yeah, and most attorneys get exposed to all different types of aspects of everybody's lives. I mean, they got their hands in, whether it's real estate, criminal, contract, you know, whatever, mental health issues. Lawyers are everywhere.
They are. They are everywhere. And lawyers tend to specialize. So it's important to find a lawyer who specializes in your area. But we all are trained to have a broad range of knowledge, not so deep. But lawyers, even if that's not your specialty, they can point you in the right direction.
So you were with Teisinger, Vance & Greer for what, 15 years?
I was,
that's
15 years.
Time.
I was a partner there. I like to say they raised me in the law.
Yeah.
So I came straight out of law school and went to practice with Teisinger.
And stayed there for 15 years.
I did.
Which is a little bit unusual. I mean, to stay that long right out of law school.
It is. Honestly, at Teisinger, you have low turnover because it was a great place to practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I did practice probate law there. So I started out practicing with Greg Shadricks, and he trained me, and I worked in probate law for about 8 years. And then I merged into real estate, and I did residential and commercial real estate with Phil Wilkins. And so continued to do the probate law, but practiced in both those areas at Tysinger.
Before we go to our first break, this opportunity for a commercial, you left Tysinger, Tysinger Vance and Greer, and went to something called FOGO.
FOGO Data Centers, that's right. Why, that's our family business.
Why would somebody call something FOGO?
Well, FOGO is Portuguese, and our original partners, one of them had done a mission in Brazil, where the language is Portuguese, and it's for fire or light. And so we did fiber optic cable data center. So light is what FOGO stands for, but that's our family business now.
It's a data center.
Correct.
What
right.
does a data center do?
A data center hosts computer data. And so it's basically, we have a server farm, we have a server room. And so we do backup, disaster recovery, a full service IT firm, basically, that also has its own backside. The data center is the backside that stores all the data. So we're a local data center so that people know their information is not in their, it's not in their present location, their office, but in a secure location offsite. But we're a local location
so
offsite.
Carrollton's got its own data center.
It does.
That's
Carrollton
pretty cool.
Has its own data center. It is. It's a phenomenal facility. If anybody, we do give tours. So if you're interested in a tour, you can call out to FOGO and they'll arrange a tour for you.
Excellent.
Thank
okay,
you.
We're going to be back with Edie Haney, probate judge of Carroll County. We're going to talk about probate court and probate coming up. But first, this word from Oak Mountain Academy and Tanner Health System.
Oak Mountain Academy has offered a challenging college preparatory education for over 50 years. With over 500 graduates, we have maintained a 100% college acceptance rate. Over 90% of our students earn acceptance to their first choice of college or university, and over the past 5 years, our students have earned over $10 million in scholarship offers. Our students are creating a legacy. Come, be a part of our family and create your own legacy today. To learn more, visit us at oakmountain.us.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Gradick, your host on this beautiful Monday as we start another week. And we're honored to have in the studio Carroll County Probate Judge Edie Haney. And we're going to talk about the fun things that go on in probate
awesome.
Court land. And I guess the most fun thing is you get to marry people.
Yes, marriages are the most fun thing. That's the best thing we do. That's correct.
Okay, well,
depending on who you ask, but
yeah, let's start out with that. Tell us what it's now. You've never married anybody before.
No, I have not. And actually, our probate court doesn't perform marriages, basically for scheduling reasons. So I can, but we don't perform them in the courthouse because it consumes your schedule if you do. So we provide the license that allows people to marry, but they provide their own officiant.
Okay, so none of that transpires in the courthouse.
Right, that's correct.
But it used to, didn't it?
Well, Judge Kaysen changed that several years ago.
Yeah.
And again, it was primarily scheduling that it became, we have, our community continued to grow. We have so many people that it just became overwhelming from a scheduling perspective.
Well, I didn't know that.
Well, yes.
See, that's news. See, we're just coming out with all these news stories. Well, one news story is apparently the wisdom of the Georgia legislature has increased the legal age to get married.
It used to be that you could marry with parental consent under 17, and that's been changed. And
to
so
what?
now you can, it doesn't matter if you're under 17, you cannot marry.
Really?
Not in Georgia. That's correct.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you've got to be a 17 or other.
That's correct, 17
and,
or
and
older.
And so parental consent is out the door.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Huh, interesting.
That's correct, yes.
Huh. Have you encountered some really young marrieds?
We've had a few come through who didn't realize the law had changed. And so I know that's disappointing, but we're bound by the law. So
what's that like to have, two 16, 17-year-olds come in and say, I want to get married? I mean, it's pretty neat, exciting.
It's always exciting, generally, that someone wants to get married. And so that's just an exciting time of your life, and you're ready for that. Now, I will say I'm the paperwork side of that, so not the most exciting side is the paperwork side, getting your license. But I think it's disappointing to have to tell someone that they're, but I'm not questioning the wisdom of that necessarily.
Right. Well, that's interesting. Okay, well, there's a lot that goes on in probate court. Let's shift because one thing. There's so many things. First, next thing I want to ask about is concealed carry. Y'all give concealed carry licenses.
Yes, and we issue all the weapons carry licenses for concealed weapons.
And last several years, those have become very popular.
Yes, they have.
Tell us about the process on that.
Well, you come in and file an application, and you can. One thing we're proud about at the probate court is that we are now basically a one-stop shop. And so in the past, you would have to come in and fill out your application, go and get your fingerprints at the sheriff's office, come back, and get your licensing done. A few years ago, we got our own fingerprint machine. And so we are authorized under the Georgia Criminal Information Center to run our own fingerprints and to pull our own background checks. And so all of that can be done at the probate court. It is still a process that we have to wait for those to come back and for those to come back with approvals. And then I'm responsible for reviewing every criminal history that comes through and determining that there are no prohibitors and that they are authorized to be issued a weapons carry license.
And so all of their fingerprints now are taken and tabulated in a database.
They are in a database. That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, good. And and those concealed carry permits last for 2 years?
4 years.
4 years?
Mm-hmm. 4 years, yes.
Probably one of the most... that's not fair, but certainly one of the greatest points of interest about probate court is that of wills.
Right.
And, we all hear about probating the will. What in the world does that mean?
Well, it's interesting. I had somebody call me this week to say, when will we do the reading of the will? And the fact is, generally, there's not a reading of the will. It is a... Am I speaking close enough? Okay. It's not necessarily a reading of the will. You bring the will to probate court, and the process of probate is to determine whether it's a valid will or not. And so we're required to give notice to all of the heirs, anyone who would receive the estate, if there were no will, in order for them to be able to challenge if there's a problem with the will. I will say in Georgia, it's difficult to overturn a will because you basically can make a will at the age of 14. As long as you're of sound mind and it's witnessed by two people, that can be a valid will. So you have to know who your heirs are. But all the heirs are required to be given notice. They have an opportunity to challenge whether it's a valid will or not. And then the court determines, yes, it meets the criteria of Georgia law, and none of the objections are sufficient to overrule it, and then it's admitted to probate. And that means that will becomes how the estate is administered, how those assets pass, and who's responsible for handling that, an executor. But we also handle estates I would say probably 50-50 maybe, of our estates don't have a will. And so all estates, anyone who dies owning assets in the state of Georgia, their assets pass through the probate estate. So if they own assets in their own name, then that has to be administered through the probate estate, probate court.
Did you say half the people do not have wills?
Of the estates that we do, I would say yes.
Would you recommend everybody get a will?
I do. I come from a probate background, and now that I'm probate judge, I see it just truly is more costly, more expensive, and more confusing, because that's one thing that probably the hardest thing for my staff and I is that by Georgia law, we are not authorized to give legal advice. And so regularly I have families come into my court and are just not sure what's the best way to handle an estate. And there are several different ways. There, in some cases, you can say there's no administration necessary. This is going to pass automatically to the heirs. Some assets by nature of law, joint accounts, life insurance that has a beneficiary, those pass automatically to the survivor. Spouses and minor children are entitled to what's called a year's support. There's just a number of different ways that an estate can be handled. And so determining what's the best one for each particular family is difficult, whether there's a will or not. And basically, an attorney can advise you, okay, this is going to yield the best result for your family. And for us, again, we're not authorized, we're prohibited by Georgia law from giving legal advice. And that's difficult for families to understand. And frankly, for my staff and I, it's difficult not to give legal advice. We would like to say, this is the best thing for you to do, or here's what we would recommend. But by law, we're prohibited. So yes, so I definitely recommend.
Will, you know, we all hear stories, and then we're all aware of stories where upon the death of a loved one, the family splits and argues over the furniture, the house, or the cars, or whatever assets.
Yes.
Does a will tend to negate some of that? Does it help that type of situation?
They're always, unfortunately, again, the death of a loved one is a traumatic time. And families, I think used to encourage my clients, and I would still encourage anyone, that part of what happens when a person dies is the fear of the unknown. Mm. And I see it particularly in blended families. I'm a blended family. Mm-hmm. And you have a spouse who's a step-parent and stepchildren, and they may have had a wonderful relationship. But when that common person passes away, no one's sure, or there's a possibility that no one's sure what's going to happen. And I went to a seminar years ago, and they advocated disclosing intergenerational planning is what they called it. But basically it's saying, talking to your family and saying, look, these are my wishes when I pass away. From funeral arrangements to here's what's going to happen with my house, here's what's going to happen with my property, this is my plan. And they advocated talking about those things ahead of time so that it wasn't a surprise to everyone and everyone knew what was going to happen. If there's one thing I would say, I would encourage people to talk about their plans. I think that helps to avoid that situation. But I would definitely say a will does sometimes make it easier because it's clear what that person's wishes were, and they can cover those things.
I've been told that Georgia's is real good in terms of the cost and the efficiency.
That's right.
And simplicity of probate when it comes to wills. And
yes. Deaths. Some states, for example, Florida. In Florida, you'll see almost everyone has a living trust because they want to avoid probate. And it's a much more burdensome process there. And the cost of probate is based on the value of the estate. Yeah. Not so in Georgia. We have a flat, regardless of the size of the estate, we have flat fees. I will say having a will does avoid certain costs. So if you have a will, you can say, look, I trust my executor. He or she doesn't need to post a bond, so you don't have the cost of post of a bond. He or she doesn't have to get permission from the court to sell assets. They can do that. If you do not have a will, then you are required to do those types of things. File returns, post bond, get permission from the court to sell property, those types of things.
To have a will now, you have to have an attorney do it, correct?
No, that's not correct.
That's not correct.
Again, I err on the side of that's the best way, because the reason for having a will is to make sure that you have, well, that your wishes are followed, but also that you take advantage of the easy process under Georgia law. And I've had many a will come through that doesn't have the right provisions in it to allow you to take care of that, to use those provisions or have the benefits of those provisions.
Okay, let's shift gears. One of the most challenging things I would imagine, and you correct me on this, is guardianships, whether of a minor or an elderly person. How does that work?
Well, minors and elderly, I have a very limited role in guardianships of minors. If a mother and father consent to a temporary guardianship of a minor, then I can grant that temporary guardianship. All other custody, guardianship, all others go through the juvenile court. So I really don't know what the background is that I have that one limited role in. It's a temporary guardianship of a minor. Mm-hmm. And again, it has to be with consent. So generally, those are the only minor guardianships that I do. But they, but generally those are difficult case. Those are difficult personally.
For the elderly also?
For the elderly. Now, I have full authority over all adult guardianships. So those fall under, all of those come under my court. So I have exclusive jurisdiction is what they call it. And if someone is not... there, it can be filed by two persons who basically allege that someone's not lacks the capacity to either handle their personal affairs, their health, their safety. That's a guardianship, or their financial affairs, and that's a conservatorship. And you can have either or both. So sometimes you have a conservatorship but no guardianship, and sometimes you have a guardianship but no conservatorship. So those are the two types that you would have. So either two persons or one person with a physician's affidavit can file for guardianship. That person is then notified that a guardianship, that a petition for guardianship has been filed. If they don't have an attorney, they're appointed an attorney to represent their interest. Sometimes,
really?
Yes, absolutely. Hmm. Because that's one of the, if you think about that, those are your most basic rights. Mm-hmm. Those are, because it does affect your freedom to handle your property, your freedom, your liberty even, because mm-hmm. a guardian can determine where you live. So those are your most basic rights. And so, yes, the law is very clear on, very, very clear, a guardian has on the procedures and the processes and the protections for the proposed ward. So the time frame's very sensitive. It can't go on forever. It has to be done within so many days and weeks. We appoint an independent evaluator who comes in and evaluates whether a guardianship or conservator is necessary. And then you have a hearing, and you have an attorney who can present evidence if need be. I will say, most of ours, the facts are relatively clear, but not always. Not always.
Well, I'm learning a lot. I don't know about anybody else.
Good.
Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Let's talk about some mental health issues and work that in. As we see, there's a lot more going on in probate court than I think any of us realize.
Yes.
So we'll be back with more after this word.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama. Because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
A well-rounded education includes much more than just academics. At Oak Mountain Academy, we encourage our students to find their niche in any of our 42 co-curricular opportunities. Over the past 5 years, we have brought home 5 state and 20 regional athletic titles. Our one-act play and literary teams continuously compete at the region and state level, and our academic teams bring home first place more than not. We are warriors creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. I know that this is something, this topic is near and dear to your heart. So let's talk about mental health issues as it relates to probate court. What are some of the things that y'all have to address?
Okay. I will say you mentioned that guardianships was probably my most difficult, but I would say that probably my most difficult area is mental health. And so the probate court, often I think people are familiar or more familiar with what's called a 1013. And that is actually a form that says someone needs to receive treatment for mental health, that they're a danger to themselves or other because of mental health. Well, the probate court, people will often call and say, I need a 1013, but the probate court does not issue 1013s. What the probate court is authorized to do is issue an order to apprehend. And an order to apprehend is if two persons come in and give testimony and they have to have observed behavior within the last 24 hours, they can come in and give testimony to the probate court. And I try to take those myself because I feel like this is a heavy burden. That a person is an imminent danger to themselves or others, threat of harm, so significant harm to themselves or others. So often what you'll find is someone's suicidal or they're threatening other people because of mental health, substance abuse, or alcohol. Those are the three criteria. Then I can issue an order to apprehend. Our sheriff's office, our transport team will go and apprehend or pick up that person and take them to a crisis stabilization unit for evaluation to determine if they require further treatment for those things, if they are in fact a danger to themselves or others, and what needs to be done at that point. The only authority that I have is to give that order to have someone taken for evaluation. But again, you have to determine, does this meet the criteria? So the order to apprehend is one thing that I do. And so because of that, I regularly have families and sometimes law enforcement coming through our office or processing through with me, giving me information about family members that are just in severe crisis. And I, as a citizen, I just did not realize that we had some of the mental health issues. What a crisis for our communities that is. And for me, that's been a little bit part of the most overwhelming part of this job, is getting a handle on and getting a grasp on the mental health issues that are in our community that need to be addressed. Also, I'm responsible for Willowbrook, because we are so fortunate to have Willowbrook in our community with Tanner. They also, Georgia mental health law requires that if they have a patient who requires treatment and the patient does not wish to stay voluntarily for treatment, but the doctors believe that additional treatment is required and that patient needs to continue with treatment, the facility itself can file a petition with my court for involuntary treatment to allow them to continue to treat a patient. So those are also fall under the purview of my court. So,
Well, that's a whole program in and of itself.
It is.
And
it is indeed.
I kind of wish I'd started with that. We could have filled the program with that.
I'll be glad to come back.
Okay. How about tomorrow?
I really would.
Okay. Yes. Anyway. All right. So we only got about a minute or so left.
Okay.
Tell us about where probate court's located. What hours are you open? Accessibility, website, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. We're located in the new courthouse. So you have the historic courthouse and the new courthouse. We're in the new courthouse on the second floor. There is, I believe it's accessible. There's an elevator, so you should be able to get there no problem. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. And I have a fantastic staff. We have 7 clerks on staff, and so it's a fantastic staff, and they'll be glad to help you with anything from the weapons carry permit, marriage licenses, or any of the other probate needs, whether it's an estate, guardianship, all of those. We try to be your servant, civil servants.
Our gratitude this morning to, I almost said Betty Kaysen, to Edie Haney.
That would be a compliment.
Edie Haney, Carroll County Probate Judge, thank you for coming in. I hope we do come back, because
I would like to
delve more into the mental health
I would like to talk about that. That's something we need to address.
And we thank you most of all for listening. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB, Carrollton.